Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito, in for Vegas Haw today. We certainly wish David well and hope he's having a good time in Vegas, but lots going on here, Bruce, in Chicago. We certainly here as we enter, get ready to enter September, have playoff things to talk about with the Cubs, but lots going on with the White Sox, including some chaos last night at the ballpark.
Indeed, Mike. Around 8 o'clock last night in Section 162, which is the left field bleachers at Guaranteed Rate, a shooting took place. We do not know if the firing of a weapon took place inside the ballpark or the bullets came from outside of the ballpark, but two women were injured. One was hit in the abdomen and the other in the leg. The woman that was hit in the leg was taken to the University of Chicago Hospital, reported in fair condition. The other woman refused treatment and went home on her own. So an investigation began to take place immediately with the White Sox security calling Chicago Police Department, and Chicago Police Department employing all precautions, including getting a SWAT team and everything else ready for what the unknown was. There has nothing been determined, Mike, at this point, as to exactly where these bullets came from that hit these two women, whether it was internally in the ballpark or came from outside. Just got a note from the White Sox. No updates from CPD as of right now. All still under investigation. So nothing much new to report other than what has occurred this morning, and that is this is a continued investigation by the Chicago Police Department as to where these bullets and these shots came from.
Right. I'm reading from the police statement right now, Bruce. Area 1 detectives are still investigating, and I'm skipping around in the statement here, but at no time it was believed that there was an active threat. You mentioned it. They don't know exactly where the bullet came from, but they are investigating, and this is something that, I mean, you talk about a week for the White Sox, and we had a plans to talk a ton about what they had done earlier this week with the front office shakeup, of course, and we do have Bob Nightingale set to join us at 10 o'clock this morning to talk about that, so we're looking forward to talking some baseball with Bob. But we definitely want to keep you all updated as to what's going on here with this White Sox situation at the ballpark last night. We welcome your calls at 312-644-6767. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Also paraphrasing here from a police and White Sox statement, the White Sox security confirms the incident did not involve an altercation of any kind. And they're wishing their victims a speedy recovery. The one woman refused medical attention and the other in fair condition, Bruce. And as you said, we don't know what happened. We don't know where, if there was a gun in the ballpark, if there was not. We have no idea where the bullets originated from, or bullet, I should say, because they did find one casing. But certainly a concerning thing, and we haven't, you know, I'll make a joke about the fact that the White Sox have lost two in a row to the A's, and I don't think anyone really is paying attention to wins and losses at this point, but certainly that was the thing that upstaged everything last night. And they had a post-game concert that they had to cancel, Vanilla Ice, Rob Bass, and Tone Loc. So fans that were there for the concert, they canceled the concert last night as well.
Right, and that was, of course, White Sox adhering to what the Chicago Police Department called a crime scene at that time. Therefore, canceling anything for allowing them to do their work. 312 844-644-6767. We have open phone lines to talk White Sox, Cubs. Yes, there is baseball out there. The Chicago Cubs moving toward a playoff push and a schedule that looked easy at one point and not so easy right now. The Chicago White Sox. Mike, I'll disagree with you a little bit, not paying attention much to what's going on. It continues to be embarrassing for the Chicago White Sox as far as losing games. And even though you didn't think it was going to get worse on the field, it has. So even more reason why we will be talking about the replacement of Ken Williams and Rick Hahn as the front office of the Chicago White Sox, talking to Bob Nightingale about that, talking to you as well, 312-644-6767. Open phone lines, Mike, during our entire show to talk White Sox, Cubs, everything baseball. We're here for you until 9 o'clock talking baseball today.
Absolutely, and we will do, as you mentioned, Bruce, we'll definitely do the Cubs. We'll do what's going on in their division in the Central. The Brewers don't seem to lose anymore, and the Cubs still, though, sitting in one of those wild card slots. We'll keep you updated on everything going on out there in Pittsburgh. And tonight, by the way, Javier Assad gets the ball. Zach's pregame at 5:40 for Cubs and Pirates. But as you mentioned, 312-644-6767 is our number. If you'd like to text or call us, that is the number to do it on. We would love to hear from you. And let's get out to the phone lines right now, Bruce. We start in Glencoe, and Mike is on Inside the Clubhouse. Mike, good morning, and welcome into the show.
Fellas, good morning, fellas. And Bruce, I deeply appreciate your years of experience. I value listening to you every Saturday. But I have a question about something that you wrote this week that troubled me. I'm confused. And you wrote that, described Chris Getz as having flourished in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. I need your help in understanding how he flourished. I see a fella who struggled and did not succeed and really isn't qualified to be moving up to the general manager position, but you have a much better view. What did you mean by flourished in the minor leagues?
Well, flourished, I mean that his ability to communicate and handle staff, his ability to communicate with the front office. When you say, okay, development, Mike, you have to go back to scouting before you can have development. Chris Getz and his people in development can only develop what players that are scouted and brought into the system. So what has been brought into the system? You have Oscar Colas in right field. You have Luis Robert in center field. These were part of international scouting and signings. Okay, you have Anderson at shortstop. You have Vaughn at first base, developed within as number ones within the system. Okay, pitching wise, you know, you don't have a lot right there. Most everything pitching wise in the White Sox system has come basically from trades and development of young players after the trades. So, Mike, when you talk about development, it's not only players that you sign in your from your scouting. It's also players that are traded for, developed, and put through to the front office. So that's what I meant by that. As far as the exception that people have to Getz being the number one candidate, I get it. I understand he doesn't have any experience as a general manager. He doesn't have any experience as a president of a baseball front office. Neither did Theo Epstein at age 31 in Boston. Neither did Brian Cashman at age 33 in New York. Yet you see the obvious success that those guys had. Somebody has to start somewhere. And my guess is Chris Getz will be getting that opportunity with the Chicago White Sox sometime soon, Mike.
Yeah, Bruce, we appreciate that and appreciate Mike's call. And I will say this, and we talked about it on this show back during the whole process, during the rebuild. You know, Rick Hahn, who lost his job this week, at the time when the rebuild was started and the trades were made, the sale trade, and you look at the talent hauls that they got back as they traded off their parts and tried to kickstart this rebuild, I mean, the talent hauls, I agreed with the moves. I liked the trades. It's just that the guys that they got, it did not work out, right? I mean, sometimes in some of these, you know, Moncada was the number one prospect in baseball. He can't stay healthy, right? I mean, a lot of the moves on paper were great moves, and a lot of people thought that he was doing the right thing. I was one of them. It just didn't, on the field, Kopech, it didn't work out. Yeah.
Michael Kopech in the same trade, obviously, yeah. Injury and other things standing in the way. Michael Kopech, still to be determined what type of pitcher he's going to be. The other trade, you know, I would say the huge trade that they made with Washington, I'd say was pretty successful. They traded Adam Eaton. They got three pitchers back. What were those three pitchers? Okay, you got Lucas Giolito. You got Ronaldo Lopez, and you got Dane Dunning, who is flourishing as a pitcher with Washington, who turned into Lance Lynn. That was a trade that was made between them and Texas for Lance Lynn. So I would say that was a pretty successful trade.
Absolutely.
When you look at the cachet. And then the development goes into the system and as you go. So what are you showing for it right now? It's to be determined as to what you got for those guys in these trades that they made near the deadline this year. So 312-644-6767, talking White Sox, Cubs, the drama at Guaranteed Rate yesterday on the south side of Chicago.
Yep, a guy who's always up for some good Sox talk on the south side. We welcome in Ron to Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Ron.
Hello, guys. You know what? This reminds me of kind of the 70s. It hasn't been. I've been following the Sox 55 years, and I just remember the 1970 lost 100 games, and it was just turmoil. It wasn't until 72 when Dick Allen pretty much saved the franchise. So it's the worst season that I've had. But two things, guys, and it's so much to deal with, but how – Pedro, how are you interviewed? I'm talking about Tony La Russa. He's part of the interview with Pedro, but he was a failure also. Wasn't totally his fault, but he wasn't successful. I mean, none of this stuff makes sense. And then Pedro, I was reading. Oh, no, let me back up real quick. Steve Stone was on. Love Steve. And he said, well, they may be able to compete next year because of the division. Guys, you know what? That's just a terrible way of looking. That has not worked.
I agree.
In the last couple of seasons, that's okay, the division was bad. And guess what? The White Sox have gotten worse. So if that's the standard, so that's it, guys. It's a lot to talk about. But right now, Ryan, man, this is just terrible.
Ryan, I agree with you. I love Steve, and he's probably the smartest analyst of baseball that I've ever watched, especially over the last 40 years, being lucky enough to watch him with the Cubs and White Sox like all of us and analyzing games. But the statement that, well, they could compete because the division is bad is you know, again, if you're going to be winning 75, 77, 80 games, if that's your goal, I'm with Ron on that, Mike. That's not where you want to be going in the future. That's not the pie in the sky that I would be looking for if I was a Chicago White Sox fan. I'd be looking for the excellence that they felt they had just a year and a half ago when they were still competing and thinking that they were a world championship caliber team with a lot of really good players and a lot of really good pitching. How did it all dissipate? How did it all blow up in their face? We'll be revisiting that for a long time right now. All we can tell you is that what's on the south side right now and how they're playing baseball and what they have to offer on the field is not quality enough to be able to win any type of division, even the central, going forward right now.
50-79, Bruce, after last night, and I know nobody expected it to be that bad. And more concerning, one of the stars as that you thought going into the season of this team. He finished second in the Cy Young Award voting last year in the American League. Dylan Cease got shelled again last night. Bruce, 4 1/3, gave up 8 earned. And it has been a terrible season performance-wise for Dylan, and it goes right with the theme we're talking about, right? I mean, there's a guy that's got to get right for next year. We've seen it before. We've seen the stuff. We've seen the ability. We've seen how he could get major league hitters out, but it is not happening for Cease this year.
312-644-6767. That's our number to talk everything White Sox, what occurred last night, what's going on with the franchise, who's the next general manager, the Chicago Cubs push for the playoffs. All of a sudden the schedule gets tighter and the schedule looks much tougher, Mike, than it did in the past. We will talk to you about all of this. Again, 312-644-6767 is our number. And Mike, I know that last night is something that's been unnerving for everybody since it occurred. I've been working throughout the night and the morning to try to find out. The White Sox, to their credit, and Director of Communications Scott Reifert has been on top of this with all the media people, keeping us updated as to what the Chicago Police Department and the White Sox security have been working on, and they've been working tirelessly throughout the night to come up with some answers for people, because I can tell you this, there's not going to be anything to cover up here about what occurred. They want to know just as much as anybody else. They want to allow people to understand it's a safe environment at guaranteed rate and that it's a friendly environment. The casualty, unfortunately for the two women yesterday to be hit by bullets, the casualty for the White Sox fans, of course, was missing out on a concert, a 90s concert that the White Sox have been promoting for months here and that they had a pretty decent crowd for last night. So it's just been, if you couldn't have written up more perfectly to go wrong for the White Sox than it's gone in 2023.
Absolutely. So if you're just joining us and you missed the news last night, two women injured last night at a shooting during a baseball game, the Sox game last night at guaranteed rate. A 42-year-old woman suffered a gunshot wound to the leg. 26-year-old woman had a graze wound to her abdomen. And if I said bullet casing, that is my error. I meant to say that there was a bullet found at the ballpark. They did not recover a weapon. We have no idea if there was a weapon in the ballpark or not. We've seen reports that the shooting was, or the bullet was fired from outside the stadium. CPD is investigating. There was no active threat, according to police and according to the White Sox. Investigators are still investigating. There was no altercation. The whole thing just bizarre, Bruce. And we will pass along any information as we get it, and certainly keep you posted. We're also going to talk, as Bruce mentioned, lots going on with the off the field front office stuff with Chris Getz possibly becoming the new GM. We'll get into that with Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams getting fired this week. Lots to unpack, Bruce, and Bob Nightingale will join us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour to talk about all of that.
Let's take a few more calls here, Mike. Go out to Valparaiso. Paul, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. You're on with Mike and Bruce. And what do you have on your mind today, my friend?
Hey guys, great show as always. Love hearing you guys. Bruce, yeah, I kind of agree with Mike from Glencoe. I mean, I love your opinions and your show, but you know, I think you're giving these guys a little bit of a pass. I mean, you're saying Kopech is yet to be determined. I think we kind of know what Kopech is. He may be a usable reliever, but he's a bust as a starting pitcher. Andrew Vaughn was the third overall pick in the draft. He can't run. He doesn't have a position, even though they say he played out of position. He's a bad first baseman. He's a basically average major league hitter, maybe slightly below average for his career. I mean, so if he's a success story, Tim Anderson, you noted, he's went nothing but downhill since Chris Getz has been around. And that's partly on Tim Anderson, I get. But I think this organization is a disaster all around. But, I mean, Chris Getz has been a part of it. How long has he been around?
Paul, what was your opinion of the organization and front office going into the season before the failure?
I mean, I thought they were 500 last year for a team that was supposed to be in their World Series window. So, not my opinion wasn't very good. You're just, I mean, this is just not you, but this is just a complete disaster. I mean, they were 500 last year in the worst league in baseball, or division in baseball, and now they have an opportunity. I think a perfect example of the unbalanced schedule is Dylan Cease. He was great against the Royals and the Tigers, but when he had to play half of the teams that he didn't have to face last year, he's not as good as he was when he was playing the strong schedule against 19 with the Royals and 19 in the Tigers. So they're only going worse from here with this new schedule.
Well, Paul, I'm not here to defend the White Sox. I'm here to report what I know out there, you know, that about Chris Getz. I'm not telling you that he's going to be the greatest general manager in the world. My job is to report what I know, and that Chris Getz is a front runner for the job. Bob Nightingale will join us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour to discuss what he knows about it. I will tell you more information about what the White Sox are seeking for their front office as we continue on. And Mike, you know, again, we report the news. We're here to help be a conduit between the players, front offices, baseball, and the fans. And we do our very best.
Absolutely. We have lots more of your calls and texts to get to. And you mentioned Bob Nightingale at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. So Don in Deerfield, we just talked to Paul, Theo in Chicago. Everyone hang on if you're there to talk to us. We will be right back after we take a quick timeout. We will talk some Cubs here as well before we get to Bob. They lose in Pittsburgh 2-1 last night. But lots going on, as always, with Chicago baseball. We're here to talk about it with you. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
And he waits on a 2-2. Here it is. And that is strike three called, and that ends it. Sox fall 12-4 in game two. Oakland has won these first couple.
Most impressive part of this series so far for Oakland was not the base hits or the home runs. It was the fact that they hustled on every play for two nights.
12-4 is the final big night for Nick Allen.
And there is the NBC Sports Chicago call of last night's final out. Sox lose 12-4. Dylan Cease gives up 8 earned and 9 runs over 4 1/3 innings. And Bruce, as we welcome our listeners back in inside the clubhouse here on 670 The Score, you heard Stoney at the end there, that highlight, by the way, courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. You heard Stoney credit Oakland's hustle on every play. Pointed commentary, in my opinion. Your thoughts on what they had to say there?
Well, look, I think it's a commentary on what they've seen from the White Sox all year. And this is my opinion. It's not Stoney's or Mike's. It's all about the idea that the White Sox have looked bad. They have played poorly and at times looked lethargic out on the field. And a team that has the worst record in baseball has come in and won two straight against the White Sox, not just winning, but scoring 20 runs. So the best that the announcers can do is do what they do well, and that is tell you the truth, not try to pretend that what they're seeing and what they're reporting is not a fact. Fact is the White Sox are a bad product out on the field right now, and they need to get better in pitching, in defense, in base running, and now added to all of that in talent on the franchise. And that's why Jerry Reinsdorf wants to hire himself a new general manager quickly. He's put a date on this as of the end of the season. I imagine in the next 10 days or 2 weeks, maybe sooner, Jerry will have the White Sox announce that they have their new general manager. But here, Mike, I think it's worthwhile setting what the White Sox are looking to do right now for White Sox fans. It's likely that Chris Getz will be the general manager and the top baseball front office person for the Chicago White Sox under Jerry Reinsdorf. It's also essential and important, and what Jerry and his people who he consults with are doing right now, to bring in somebody who can be there to help Chris Getz during some tough times, learn on the job, get better at what he does, bounce things off of other than Jerry and the people that are there. This was done if you go back to when Ken Williams was named general manager after Ron Shuler left the White Sox in 2000, this was done with Roland Heeman, the great general manager and executive who was one of the most beloved guys in the game of baseball, one of the smartest guys in the game of baseball for over 50 years. Former White Sox general manager in the 1980s, Jerry brought back Roland to help Kenny Williams learn the job, have people have thoughts to be able to bounce off of Roland, to help him learn on the job. That is something that the White Sox are attempting to do right now, going out and hiring an executive like a Dayton Moore, like a Pat Gillick, like a Walt Jocketty, somebody out there who has been there, done that, won championships, is not looking to take the job permanently, but to be there for a young executive who is learning the position and is needing to have things bounce off of on a daily basis. This is no different, again, than what occurred with Theo Epstein going back into the early 1990s. Early 2000s, rather, with Larry Lucchino there. It's no different than what Brian Cashman did with Gene Michael there as the top former executive that was there to bounce things off of. It's a natural progression. It's a natural way that a young executive takes over and is given a chance to be really great at what they do. It's no different in any business that you or I or anyone else out there goes after. Experience counts. Having experienced people to talk to and bounce things off of is very essential. Now, Mike, we will get callers now that will tell me, well, if the guy is that inexperienced, we don't want him on the job. And again, I will tell you, Chris Getz is a great young baseball person who's put in time in the minor leagues with Kansas City and with the White Sox. And given the time, I believe we'll do a really good job. Again, if I'm a White Sox fan, Mike, and I was told the last 3 years that we were going to try to win a World Series, I wouldn't be happy about this.
Nope.
I wouldn't.
Well, nonetheless,
this is the reality of the situation right now.
Understood. 312-644-6767. Bruce, out to the phone lines we go, and we want to hear from you, Cubs fans and Sox fans, but we happen to be talking about the Sox front office situation right now. We go out to the south side. Rodney joins us in Inside the Clubhouse. Morning, Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, Bruce, good. With all due respect, man, if they hire Chris Getz, that's another slap in the face. To all the White Sox fans, this guy ain't got no body of work. His portfolio is terrible. And if you really want to be honest, if I was an owner, I'd get rid of everybody associated with the White Sox because, frankly, honestly, they just haven't done a good job. It goes beyond Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn. They need to hire somebody out of the organization, a brand new face and a brand new air, to clean the whole organization out and get a new direction. I mean, you got to stop this nonsense.
Rodney, I appreciate your opinion, and I think a lot of White Sox fans agree with you. I mean, that is a consensus out there, Mike, right now. And Rodney, again, thanks for your call. And, you know, Rodney's been an essential part of talk radio in Chicago since the formation of the Score way back in 1992. So his opinion is valid. So is every other opinion by White Sox fans. And that's the beauty of our show and the shows on the Score and in talk radio in general, that you have a voice, that you have an opinion. Look, is this an ideal situation for the Chicago White Sox? No, it's not. Is Jerry Reinsdorf ready to go out there and hire some stranger who he's never met before? I don't know that. All I can tell you right now is that from all my reporting, the way Bob Nightingale has reported this and his intel, Chris Getz appears to be the next general manager in waiting here for the Chicago White Sox. And structuring the front office along with Chris Getz is the charge of Jerry Reinsdorf right now to get that done.
312-644-6767 is our number. If you'd like to chime in, we would love to hear from you. That gets you to our texts as well. So please chime in to the show. We will talk to Bob Nightingale from USA Today about this whole situation at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. And Bruce, to our listeners, if you missed it, we want to reset and give you this information. There was an incident at Guaranteed Rate Field last night. A 42-year-old female and a 26-year-old female sustained grazed abdomen and a gunshot wound at the ball game last night. Police are investigating. The White Sox are on top of this with the police. At no time was it believed that there was an active threat. White Sox security had maintained the safety. Everything is still very preliminary right now. And I know you said that the White Sox informed you that as of now, they still had no updates yet from the police, correct?
Right. And the concert that was supposed to take place remains to be seen if that'll be rescheduled. It was canceled because the Chicago Police Department had to turn on all the lights at the ballpark. It had to do a thorough investigation of the crime scene where the two women were injured, and therefore that they had to get to their jobs. So that was the reason the concert was canceled. There was no technical situation. There was no the White Sox had no choice but to do this and allow the Chicago police to do their job.
And we did have a texter wondering, Bruce, why the game was not canceled when all of this happened last night. And I believe it's exactly the line that we just read. At no time was there an active threat. And did anyone think that there was an active threat in the stadium? Obviously, that would have been a totally different situation. As we get anything else from the police department or from the White Sox, we will keep you posted. Just a bizarro week with the White Sox and with both on and off the field stuff. So one more caller, Bruce, before we break. Out in Des Plaines, and his name is Grandpa. Grandpa, you've got the mic, my friend. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, thanks. You know, as old guys, we have some memories. And my thought is, how about Danny Evans? Don't you think he deserves a consideration?
Yeah, well, Danny Evans, you know, was an assistant general manager with the White Sox for many years, went on to become the general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, now currently part of ownership in the Field of Dreams in Iowa. Where that event did not take place this year, but will take a place again for Major League Baseball, I'm told, in the future. So, you know, Danny has been a scout for many years. Certainly has a brilliant guy and a guy that is somebody that would be considered for any job. I have not heard his name, Mike, as far as consideration for this job.
312-644-6767 if you'd like to chime in, White Sox or Cubs. And we need to take a very quick timeout. Again, Bob Nightingale from USA Today will join us at 10. We will dive into last night's Cubs game a little bit when we come back. Bruce, two pirate runs in the first were made to stand up, and the Cubs lost 2-1 in Pittsburgh. We'll go over the playoff implications and where they stand as we speak, and we'll get you ready for tonight's game in Pittsburgh as well. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for Vegas Haw this week. He'll be back next week. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. A high fastball got him. The Pirates beat the Cubs 2-1 here at PNC Park.
Now, pretty good battle there in the ninth inning. Suzuki extended that at bat a long way, gave it a good battle, but Bednar with a little high gas finishes up the ballgame.
And that's how last night's game ended in Pittsburgh. Cubs fall to the Pirates 2-1. Welcome back in to Inside the Clubhouse alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito filling in for David this week. Bruce, as we dive into the Cubs a little bit, the Brewers, to no one's surprise, continue to win as they have been one of the hottest teams in baseball. They win again last night. The Cubs could not get that offense going last night against Mitch Keller, and they lose 2-1.
Yeah, and it was a really good ball game, as David Ross said. Everybody was functioning on all cylinders. The offense just was completely shut down by
Mitch Keller, yep.
Pitcher. Yeah, Keller. And it's obvious that these things are going to happen. The good news is that the Cubs bullpen was able to rest quite a bit last night after Hendricks was able to throw his innings. And the A relievers, who have been worn to a pulp, certainly have needed some rest there. You know, right now you have a bullpen that has three different pitchers with 56 or more appearances. You have Alzolay, who has 51, very high for a closer. All three are on pace to have 80 or more appearances this year, which would be obviously half the games that the team plays. You know, that is above and beyond where any manager or coaching staff wants to go as far as appearances. So you want to be able to be sure, Mike, that the bullpen is strong and that it's ready to handle these last 33 games of the year. And right now, they are in the need of help. They will get a call up on the 31st or on the 1st. You'll be able to call up at least one more pitcher. I think Pete Crow Armstrong will be one of the call ups. I'm thinking that Ben Brown, if he's healthy, will be the other. He's not quite there yet, so it might be a week into September before Brown is able to come up. They have a few other options, but this is a really important time for the bullpen and the Chicago Cubs, for sure.
Absolutely. And it was very important, as you mentioned, Bruce, for Hendricks to regroup. He gave up two in the first, but then was able to pitch into the sixth. And then using only Kwas and Smiley, you were able to get Alzolay and Merriweather and Leiter Jr. some rest there, because very important going down the stretch. So the Cubs start the day four behind the Brewers. They are still in that number two, or in that number three, I should say, wild card slot. That is going to go back and forth for the last 5 weeks of the season here, and that's the fun of the pennant race. But the Giants lost last night, the Reds lost last night, the Padres did, as did the Marlins. So everyone in that wild card race will bounce back and forth here going forward. And the Cubs with Javier Assad in Pittsburgh tonight. We've got some Cubs callers, Bruce. We want to get to them at 312-644-6767. We start with Theo, who's been holding patiently in Chicago. Hey, Theo.
Hey guys. Help me out here, please. And please hear me out. The Cubs guys are making me crazy right now. They're almost like, it's almost like the switch was flipped off when Atlanta left town. Now, they've been very flat since that series. I think we're gone, what is it, about 2 weeks now? And what's noticeable, what's worrying me, is that this looks like a group-wide, slumping of the bats. And really kind of atypical poor plate discipline for some guys I'm not used to seeing this from. They had 2 days off last week, Bruce. 2 days off. And they came out of it against, what are we talking about, the White Sox, the Pirates, the Tigers. They don't look any more energized than they were before that. Now, I get it. I hear it all the time. This is baseball. Every team is good. They've got some good players. It's a grind. And I know they realize what's at stake here, but they got to be much better against these inferior teams.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're seeing the wear and tear of August and September on the Chicago Cubs, Mike, and appreciate your call. I agree with you. You're seeing Nico Horner having some slumping issues. You're certainly seeing Morel, other than that home run, having done very little over the last couple of weeks. A lot of swing and miss, not a lot of hard contact from Morel, not in the starting lineup yesterday. So there are guys that are slumping. You can't expect the Chicago Cubs, Mike, the previous, I think, 23, 24 games before the Pittsburgh series, they averaged 6.2 runs per game, okay? Yeah. That was by far and away the most in baseball. That is not something that's sustainable, okay? Again, you are playing Kansas City, you are playing Detroit, you are playing Pittsburgh, but you see a guy like Keller step up there, who's now won 11 games, and whether they're a good team on paper and they're in the standings has nothing to do with that night's ball game. Keller just shoved yesterday, and that's all you can do. You tip your hat, you move on, you hope that the rest of the weekend works out better.
That's the old saying, you're only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. Well, he was yesterday's starting pitcher, and you even heard Rossi and Hendricks say after the game, listen, it's baseball. He pitched a great game. They beat us 2-1. That's it. What are you going to do about it, right? That's all you're going to do. You're going to play tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we have a lot more coming up this next hour. Continue to take calls on the Chicago White Sox. Bob Nightingale, the reporter and columnist from USA Today, joining us next. 10 o'clock. Your calls always 312-644-6767. Cubs, Sox, everything baseball. He's Mike. I'm Bruce. It's Inside the Clubhouse on the Score.
70 the Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. A high fastball got him. The Pirates beat the Cubs 2-1 here at PNC Park.
Now, pretty good battle there in the ninth inning. Suzuki extended that at bat a long way, gave it a good battle, but Bednar with a little high gas finishes up the ballgame.
And that's how last night's game ended in Pittsburgh. Cubs fall to the Pirates 2-1. Welcome back in to Inside the Clubhouse alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito filling in for David this week. Bruce, as we dive into the Cubs a little bit, the Brewers, to no one's surprise, continue to win as they have been one of the hottest teams in baseball. They win again last night. The Cubs could not get that offense going last night against Mitch Keller, and they lose 2-1.
Yeah, and it was a really good ball game, as David Ross said. Everybody was functioning on all cylinders. The offense just was completely shut down by
Mitch Keller,
pitcher. Yeah, Keller. And it's obvious that these things are going to happen. The good news is that the Cubs bullpen was able to rest quite a bit last night after Hendricks was able to throw his innings. And the A relievers who have been worn to a pulp certainly have needed some rest there. You know, right now you have a bullpen that has three different pitchers with 56 or more appearances. You have Alzolay, who has 51, very high for a closer. All three are on pace to have 80 or more appearances this year, which would be obviously half the games that the team plays. You know, that is above and beyond where any manager or coaching staff wants to go as far as appearances. So you want to be able to be sure, Mike, that the bullpen is strong and that it's ready to handle these last 33 games of the year. And right now, they are in the need of help. They will get a call up on the 31st or on the 1st. You'll be able to call up at least one more pitcher. I think Pete Crow Armstrong will be one of the call ups. I'm thinking that Ben Brown, if he's healthy, will be the other. He's not quite there yet, so it might be a week into September before Brown is able to come up. They have a few other options, but this is a really important time for the bullpen and the Chicago Cubs, for sure.
Absolutely. And it was very important, as you mentioned, Bruce, for Hendricks to regroup. He gave up two in the first, but then was able to pitch into the sixth. And then using only Kwas and Smiley, you were able to get Alzolay and Merriweather and Leiter Jr. some rest there, because very important going down the stretch. So the Cubs start the day four behind the Brewers. They are still in that number two, or in that number three, I should say, wild card slot. That is going to go back and forth for the last 5 weeks of the season here, and that's the fun of the pennant race. But the Giants lost last night. The Reds lost last night. The Padres did, as did the Marlins. So everyone in that wild card race will bounce back and forth here going forward. And the Cubs with Javier Assad in Pittsburgh tonight. We've got some Cubs callers, Bruce. We want to get to them at 312-644-6767. We start with Theo, who's been holding patiently in Chicago. Hey, Theo.
Hey guys. Help me out here, please. And please hear me out. The Cubs guys are making me crazy right now. They're almost like the switch was flipped off when Atlanta left town. Now, they've been very flat since that series. I think we're gone, what is it, about 2 weeks now? And what's noticeable, what's worrying me, is that this looks like a group-wide, you know, slumping of the bats. And really kind of atypical poor plate discipline for some guys I'm not used to seeing this from. They had 2 days off last week, Bruce. 2 days off, and they came out of it against, what are we talking about, the White Sox, the Pirates, the Tigers. They don't look any more energized than they were before that. Now, I get it. I get it. I hear it all the time. This is baseball. Every team is good. They've got some good players. It's a grind. But, and I know they realize what's at stake here, but they got to be much better against these inferior teams.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're seeing the wear and tear of August and September on the Chicago Cubs, Mike, and appreciate your call. I agree with you. You're seeing Nico Horner having some slumping issues. You're certainly seeing Morel, other than that home run, having done very little over the last couple of weeks. A lot of swing and miss, not a lot of hard contact from Morel, not in the starting lineup yesterday. So there are guys that are slumping. You can't expect the Chicago Cubs, Mike, the previous, I think, 23, 24 games before the Pittsburgh series, they averaged 6.2 runs per game, okay? Yep. That was by far and away the most in baseball. That is not something that's sustainable, okay? Again, you are playing Kansas City, you are playing Detroit, you are playing Pittsburgh, but you see a guy like Keller step up there who's now won 11 games, and whether they're a good team on paper and they're in the standings has nothing to do with that night's ball game. Keller just shoved yesterday, and that's all you can do. You tip your hat, you move on, you hope that the rest of the weekend works out better.
That's the old saying, you're only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. Well, he was yesterday's starting pitcher, and you even heard Rossi and Hendricks say after the game, listen, it's baseball. He pitched a great game. They beat us 2-1. That's it. What are you going to do about it, right? That's all you're going to do. You're going to play tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we have a lot more coming up this next hour. Continue to take calls on the Chicago White Sox. Bob Nightingale, the reporter and columnist from USA Today, joining us next, 10 o'clock. Your calls always 312-644-6767. Cubs, Sox, everything baseball. He's Mike, I'm Bruce. It's Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.